This is Merrill Reese, voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, and you're listening to Mornings with Mike on News Talk 830 WEEU. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Welcome on back. News Talk 830 WEEU, online 830WEEU.com. Mornings with Mike. That was Len Carman with the news. IA across the hallway taking your calls. Noel Acosta pushing all the right buttons. Phone number 610-374-8800, 1-888-401-0459. We are excited to once again welcome in the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. Joining us right now on the phones is the legend himself, Merrill Reese. Good morning there, Merrill. How are you?
I am well. Nice to hear your voice again.
Good to have you on again. We sure do appreciate you taking the time. We wish it was under better circumstances, as we were hoping the Eagles would be playing in the divisional round, maybe getting ready to go to Green Bay. But unfortunately, the season came to an end last Sunday down in Tampa Bay. Didn't get to the second bay, only one bay in the postseason. Merrill, they were playing so well coming down the stretch. Were you as surprised as we were? Because we all were talking about this last Friday, a week from today, and we were talking about how we expected it to at least be a close game and then for them to battle down to the very end. Were you surprised how flat they came out and how the Buccaneers were able to kind of run away and just kind of put it on cruise control for the second half of that game?
Well, to be absolutely candid, to be absolutely honest with you, I did expect a more competitive game than what we got. But my heart told me yes, and my brain told me that it was very, very unlikely for them to beat the GOAT and to beat the defending Super Bowl champions. I didn't think they were quite ready for that. And as a matter of fact, if you take the Eagles, if you take the Steelers, if you took the teams that got into the playoffs this year because of the expanded playoff format, they weren't traditional playoff teams. They were a notch below. So I think the Eagles did well just to go from a 4-11-1 team to a 9-8 and a playoff competitor, but I think they went as far as they could go.
Yeah, you're probably right. A lot of us thinking with our hearts, and maybe a lot of fool's gold was talked about coming down the stretch with the teams that the Eagles played, playing the weaker teams in the NFC East, and just some other teams that were struggling, maybe got all our hopes up a little too high. But you still have to tip your cap to them, the way they improved from early on in the season where they were 2-5 to coming down the stretch and finding a way, as you said, to even in an expanded field make their way into the playoffs.
You're absolutely right, and it's a team that never gave up, a team that gained confidence as the season went on. It got better and better. Nick Sirianni did a very, very good job of holding this team together. Often when teams are 2-5, they start to spiral out of control and you end up with a 4-13 record. But instead, this team really took hold of itself. They did benefit from a weaker schedule in the second half. But look, you can only play who's on your schedule. And they did that, and they took care of business with the one glitch being the first Giants game. But other than that, they were a pretty solid football team with, I think, a bright future, and I think a bright young quarterback.
Yeah, let's talk about that quarterback. Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni spoke at their end-of-the-season press conference earlier this week, and they put their faith and they put their backing behind Jalen Hurts. Tell us your view of him from the broadcast booth after a full season of starting in the NFL.
I think he's special. I mean, people talk about the intangibles all the time, the fact that he's a leader, that the rest of the team really reveres him and respects him, the fact that he has poise. But I think let's talk about the tangibles. He's a tremendous athlete. And here's the biggest mistake people make. They question his arm strength. I've seen it in print described as modest arm strength. I've seen it described as a weak arm or with a lack of arm strength. Here's the truth. He's got a strong arm. He's got an above average arm in terms of its absolute strength. He can throw every pass that has to be thrown. I will tell you that he has, from arm strength alone, just arm strength, of course, he's got a stronger arm than Tom Brady. He's got a stronger arm than Drew Brees, who will be in the Hall of Fame in four more years. But he's got plenty of arm strength. Now, there are things that have to be developed. Take the pass that you saw late in the game when he, or right before halftime, when he rolled all the way to his left and then threw the ball that was intercepted at the end zone. That was a lightning bolt. The problem was not the velocity with which that ball was delivered. The problem was he waited too long to get it, to let it go. And by that time, the safety came across and picked it off. He's got to learn to read the field better, which is something that all young quarterbacks go through. He's got to get rid of it sooner. But his decision-making got better as the season went along. He didn't just dash out of the pocket at the first sign of trouble, but he has plenty of arm strength, and I think we've just seen the surface of how good he's going to get. If the Eagles were to say, well, he's not the one, let's draft, and you could say Kenny Pickett, you could say Matt Corral, you could come up with Malik Willis, any of these young quarterbacks, they'd be starting all over again and probably not getting a quarterback as good as Jalen Hurts. Teams that go on what I like to call the quarterback carousel. Somebody said, I said to somebody, you know, the New York Jets are always changing quarterbacks. Say they draft Sam Darnold's gone. They draft, you know, they're always taking somebody. I said that like the New York Jets. And somebody said to me, he said, you know what? You go on the quarterback carousel, you become the New York Jets, and you don't need that.
Yeah, the Jets have been on the carousel so long, they've got to be getting dizzy by now, Merrill.
Oh, my goodness, And now they have Zach Wilson, and he's a young quarterback with plenty of arm talent, but he's a young quarterback, and he's going through growing pains. Jalen Hurts, with the exception of four games last year, was really a rookie quarterback, if you look at in terms of games. And when you consider the fact that he came out in 2020, he was drafted in the second round, in 2020, there was no preseason games. There was nothing but light workouts late in the summer, and he didn't play with the first unit until four games were left in the season. And then even this year, there were three preseason games. And if I were to be critical of Nick Sirianni or anything he did, and believe me, I have the highest respect for him, and I think he's a terrific young coach, and he's going to continue to grow in this job. But if I were to be critical of any one thing, and I said it, I was not bashful about saying it this summer, I said it on the air during the preseason games, I think it's a mistake when you don't use these preseason games to get your regulars, particularly your young players, into shape and give them the experience that they need. Now, they'll say, well, we had dual workouts with the Patriots, we had dual workouts with the Jets. Only a game is a game. And that's what he needs. I hope that next summer, when you take these young players, that they play at least five quarters, a half in the first game, a half in the second game, or I'll even settle for four with a quarter in the first game, a half in the second game, and a quarter in the third game. But Jalen Hurts had, I think it was 10 snaps in the entire preseason. That's not enough. And I think that contributed to getting off to a 2-5 start.
I agree with you as far as not wanting to draft a young quarterback. I think if you're going to go with a young quarterback, you just stick with Jalen Hurts. And I think he has improved every year since he's been in Alabama, which is fantastic to see. He is moving in the right direction. There are these rumors out there. Eagles, obviously, the three draft picks in the first round, lots of capital, and some veteran QBs who are looking to maybe change scenery. Do you think the Eagles dipped their toe in that water, or was that 100% what we're going to see from the Eagles at that press conference where they are all in with Jalen Hurts here going forward?
I hope that they are set, and I'll take them at the word that they're all in with Jalen Hurts. And when you look at the older quarterbacks who are going to be around, Aaron Rodgers is not coming here. There's no doubt that Aaron Rodgers is going to go someplace that is on the cusp of another Super Bowl, or that he feels he can change quickly enough so that He doesn't want to go back to a team that is possibly a playoff team, but not projected to be a Super Bowl competitor next year. And his addition wouldn't make that kind of a difference. And plus, he's nearing 40. Russell Wilson is the other name you've heard. And I've been a big Russell Wilson fan forever. I think he's a great guy, and I think he's a wonderful quarterback, probably a Hall of Fame quarterback also. But Russell Wilson is coming off a weak season. At one stretch, I checked his stats after a particular game, and he was 2-for-11 in balls thrown over 10 yards. And he's been beaten up quite a bit. So as far as Deshaun Watson, no thank you for the obvious reasons. No thank you. I mean, who knows how his case is going to be abdicated, and then who knows what's going to follow even if he doesn't end up with prison time. What's going to happen in terms of the NFL? Is he going to be suspended for 4 games, 10 games?
Yep.
I don't need trouble. I don't need to start with something like that. That's my opinion.
Well, if Hurts is going to be the guy, and it sounds like he is, and we want him to keep improving, the guy who's going to be tasked with that is the head coach, Nick Sirianni. You've said some great things about him already. Your impressions of his first year, starting from that press conference where he took a lot of heat for that opening press conference, but since then the team has rallied around him, and no matter what you think about the things he says, the team seems to get behind this guy, and they want to go out and play for him week in and week out.
Well, you described it perfectly. They have gotten behind him, and his press conferences are a lot better now, too.
Yes.
You know, he went into a press conference. He never had any experience as a head coach. He was thrown out there and said some things that didn't exactly have you saying, wow, the next Vince Lombardi or the next Bill Belichick is coming here. But you know what? He grew up very quickly in that regard, and you're right about the players respecting him. And he's a very inspirational coach. He's got passion for the game, comes from a football family, loves football. I think he's going to be a very good coach, a very, very good head coach, and a coach that can take this team far. You know, I was just thinking about something because I don't think I completed my answer from the previous thing we spoke about, which is the staying with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
You know, to get one of these quarterbacks, let's say Russell Wilson, that's going to cost you either 2 or 3 first-round draft choices. Do you really want to give up that? This team has an opportunity. I can't remember them ever having 3 first-round draft choices. They have an opportunity to change this franchise if they use those 3 draft choices right. If they pick up the players, let me give you an example. Let's say they take 2 of those first-round draft choices, if it takes that much. They take 2 of those first-round draft choices, and they move into the first round, into the top 10 part of the first round, and they get for that a player like, and I'm just throwing out names, a player like Jordan Davis, the tackle from Georgia, 6'6", 360. I mean, that they need what I call a difference maker on the defense. They have no difference maker. They have some impact players. They have some good players. Hargrave was good. 3 years ago, Fletcher Cox was what you call a difference maker, a disruptor. They need one of those. Brian Dawkins was a difference maker on that defense. They need somebody. Now, I'll give you another name. Kyle Hamilton, safety, Notre Dame. So he's a difference maker. You're not going to be able to get somebody like Aiden Hutchinson, the defensive end from Michigan, because he's going to go in the maybe first or second in the whole draft. But his line mate, who is also a difference maker, is David Ajabo with 11.5 sacks, an edge rusher. So I think if they pick up one of those players in the top 10 and then use their other draft pick, whether it be the 15th, 16th, or 19th, if they use one of those, and this is just a name I'll throw out there, to pick up somebody like Johan Dotson from Penn State, he, number one, provides an excellent complement to Devontae Smith, who's a great player. And then he's also a great return man. And goodness knows this team needs a return man.
Yeah, the guy who was back there returning punts and even some kicks early on, Jalen Reagor. You talk about disappointments. They've had a few of those with wide receivers out of that first round of the draft over the years. Has Reagor played his final game in your eyes with the Philadelphia Eagles?
I'm going to say I hope so, and the reason I say I hope so is not to be unkind to Jalen Reagor, because I do not think that he's the player that we've seen over the last couple of years. He's made a lot of mistakes. He's been disappointing ever since they did not announce the name of Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be hearing that for as long as he's here. I think he needs a change. I think he needs a fresh venue. I think he needs a new team, and I still believe he can become a very good receiver. But he's not an elite receiver. So I would hope for his sake that the Eagles allow him or find a way to get him someplace else, be a trade or whatever. But I still think he's got a football career ahead of him, but I just don't think it's going to be with this team.
Philadelphia Eagles fans who listen to us here on WEE, you would love to see Dotson as lining up across from or down the sideline from Devontae Smith. We carry Penn State football here on News Talk 830 WEEU. Talk about Devontae Smith. He made a catch. I know he wasn't targeted enough for a lot of people's likings in that playoff game, but that two-point conversion catch that he made on Sunday is a great example of why this guy is going to be a receiver for the Eagles and probably a Pro Bowler for years to come.
I agree. Listen, when people talk to me about Jalen Hurts' arm strength, I focus on another play, and see if you remember this one. It was in the Carolina game, late in the Carolina game, and it was also on a two-point conversion where Hurts rolled as far as he could to the right sideline and then put on the brakes and whipped the ball to Devontae Smith. It was a rope he threw, absolutely a rope across the field. And don't forget, a football field is 53 and a third yards wide. So that ball, even though it might have been thrown from the 5-yard line, was a throw of almost 50 yards.
Had some arm strength there. Devontae Smith, we're running out of time here, unfortunately, but I want to just ask you, have you ever seen a rookie with better body control than Devontae Smith? Some of the sideline catches he made this season were ridiculous, Merrill.
He is one of the best toe tappers I have ever seen. He's amazing, and he has great hands.
Fantastic.
Great hands. And he runs great patterns. There's nothing about him that I don't like. Listen, people will say, well, maybe they should have taken Micah Parsons. Well, certainly Micah Parsons is phenomenal. But I can't complain when they take Devontae Smith. He's going to be around and provide a lot of thrills for a long time. And I'm excited about his future. I'm excited about the future of this team. I'm down about, or was down for about an hour, about the way the game ended last week. I found myself saying in the third quarter, well, 3.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Hurry, please, please hurry. And I'm somebody who enjoys being up in that booth for every single second.
Yeah.
But in that case, when they were up 31-0, it was painful. It was painful for everybody who loves this football team.
It was a tough Sunday for sure. Merrill, I could talk with you all day. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. So what does Merrill Reese do now that the Eagles season is over?
Merrill Reese prays for warm weather so we can go out on the golf course.
You and me both.
You know, I will watch every one of these playoff games and enjoy them. I really love football, so I certainly will enjoy that. And we're really not heading any place, but when the weather is warm, I will get my 100 rounds of golf in.
Oh man, that's my goal. So there you go. I got Merrill Reese goals. Try to get 100 rounds of golf in 2022. Merrill, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, and we can't wait to hear you with Mike next season here on News Talk 830 WEEU, calling the Eagles and whoever they're playing. Hopefully, beating down on some of those NFC East teams, and once again making their way to the playoffs.
Always pleasure to be on Mornings with Mike, and anytime you need me, you have the contact information, and I'll be happy to jump on.
You may regret saying that, Merrill. Thank you, my friend. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. The great Merrill Reese. He is just the best of the best of the best. I looked down, and it was like 8:20 already. He's just amazing.